coming clean. All the secrets he has kept from her so long are finally known. Her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see
the beauty of the blood, the goodness of his grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought! Just one single drop forever wiped away our every stain, and with its power every chain that held us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. Forever changed, I stand amazed by everything it does. That's the beauty of the blood,
can
the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood, the beauty of the blood.
So dark and so low, the sun did not shine there, but a lily did grow. I cried to my father, how can this be? He said, can't you see, child? In a dry, barren spot.
Again, my heart questioned, how can this be?
Again, Jesus whispered, I am with thee. I came to an ocean so vast and so wide. The waters were peaceful, they swelled in the tide. I stood.
Appreciate it. What a good night we've had already, but looking forward to the preaching now. Get your Bibles in your hands. This is our third message on the subject of our music. I hope through this musical may you've either been challenged to get your music right or challenged to keep your music right. Either way, it should be a challenge to us, right? In our Christian life, I think sometimes we think, well, I took care of that one time. I never have to deal with that again. Well, that's for salvation. Baptism, everything else in the Christian life, we have to continue to surrender and keep things right, because the devil's always attacking and pushing in the area of our music. And I encourage you and challenge you this month, as I did at the beginning of the month, challenge you to get your music right for 1 month at least, to start there. That doesn't mean get it right for a month and then go back to the old stuff next month, but to challenge you to get it right. Let God speak to your heart and make sure your music is biblical and right with Him. I asked my brother to preach for us tonight. He's been pastoring now for a little over 10 years now, I believe. So he's my elder. He's much, much older than I am, for sure. And he's actually younger, but most people think that he's older than I am. So I'm sticking with that. And he's been pastoring for a number of years and now pastoring Regency Baptist Church, as Pastor Nuggles had retired due to his health and is now in evangelism and has been pastoring there for a number of years. So I appreciate your faithfulness and friendship as well. So Pastor Becker, I told him, I'm going to try really hard to not call you by your first name. Thank you for that. And also thank you, Jen and Harold, for playing for us tonight as well. Appreciate that, both of you. So get your Bibles in your hands, and if you come preach for us tonight, looking forward to hearing from the Word of God.
All right. Well, it is good to be in church here tonight. I wasn't as worried about him calling me by my first name. I was worried about him calling me by nicknames that I had growing up. But I do have the mic now, and so we'll have a good time together. We do love Shasta Baptist Church, and I thank you for your faithfulness. What an amazing ministry that you have here. That's not a testament to really any one person. Of course, the Lord gets all the glory, but the body of Christ being faithful and serving together, and I just applaud you for doing what you do here. You are an encouragement to us. I pray that we are to you as well. You know, every church has a little bit of different flavor, little things you do that are different, style, preferences, all kind of stuff. But it's a blessing to know that folks are around America and around the world preaching the gospel, standing for truth, standing for righteousness, old-time religion. And I thank the Lord for Shasta Baptist Church. For Pastor Johnson, of course, had such an influence in my life over the years, continues to do so. And I get a ride up with him every now and then to the college. And I like to just sit back and listen to him talk and Pastor Rule. And he's got quite a just entertaining way of saying things. And just love getting to spend time with him, you know, in this kind of setting, but a personal setting. I've sought counsel for him on really big decisions in life, and he's always been very gracious to give his time to me in that way. And then, of course, great to see my brother now here serving all these years. And, of course, your pastor's wife and the little girls, and then Joel, of course. And we just love coming up here and getting to visit the family. And so thank you for welcoming us with opening arms. I'm going to try to preach tonight, but it's a little difficult. We just had enough barbecue, I think, to serve the whole church. I don't know if your pastor just read that Feeding the 5,000 story and thought, you know, let's try to replicate this or something. But I had maybe a little bit more than I should have. But regardless, we are looking forward to tonight. We're in Job chapter 38. Job chapter number 38. If you take your Bibles with me, you'll notice that I got called up to do the preaching. And just the preaching. I do enjoy getting to sing with groups from time to time in our church. My son and I were having a conversation in the garage. I forget what we were doing. And we were listening to some music. He loves hearing his uncle's CD right now. And my wife's older brother, AJ, is in Indiana. My brother mentioned that. And he's come up with some new albums with a group that he sings with. And he said, "Dad, how come you don't, like, go do that? Like what mom did, you know? Go and do a music CD or an album or, you know, why don't you sing that?" And I said, "Well, son, you know, God gives different people in different ways. And, you know, in life you come to terms with God's created you this way and God's created others that way. And that's just kind of the way it is." And I said, "You know, I know that I, you know, can sing in a group and in choir, things like that. And, you know, that's fine." I said, "But I'm not really the kind of person to go record a CD or an album." And he said, well, "Dad, could you, like, try?" And I thought, you know, this is sounding a lot like things that I've told him, you know, growing up as a young boy. And I tell you what, music is such a blessing. I don't know anybody that just says, "I don't like music," period. Now, it might be the wrong type of music, and we can agree with the fact that just because our flesh likes something doesn't give you a license to accept or do that thing. My flesh wants me to eat chip cookies for breakfast every morning, but I should not do that, amen? Now, if you agree with me, I might eat it every morning. Praise the Lord, help me out, come on. Just because our flesh wants something doesn't mean that it's okay. And we get this mindset in Christianity, and by the way, it's Christians that believe this. The world is more honest about it than we are. And we say, because it feels good to me, it must be right. Because I like it, it must be okay, because God created this way. And it's all this language that we've adopted to deceive ourselves into making us feel good about something that we just like and feel good and we don't want to surrender to the Lord. I do believe that music is a gift. It is a beautiful gift from the Lord. Now, if you're here tonight, you know that God created you to love music. God put that in your heart. God created you with that desire. That's not an outpouring of our sinful nature and of our flesh, of course, towards the wrong things, but God designed us to love music. God designed us in eternity. When we get that new body, and when we're in glory, and we never have to have another doctor visit, somebody say amen. You never have to have a checkup or worry about traffic or any of those things. God says that we're going to sing. And I don't know a lot of what we're going to do in heaven, but God makes it very clear that there will be a lot of singing in heaven. This isn't an outpouring just of our sinful nature. And of course, that's the battle that we face. But I want to focus tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about those things, but really just understanding this, that God is the one who created music. God created you to love music. Not everybody has the same musical talents. Not everybody has the same musical abilities. But everybody can be blessed the same by music. Everybody can reap the benefits that God's given us, this tool in our design created in the image of God to be helped in our lives. And I want to take you in your Bibles tonight, Job chapter 38. If you'll stand, if you're able tonight, as we read the scripture, Job chapter number 38. And we'll begin reading verse number 4. The Bible says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." If I could take you back to verse 4, verse 7 talks about the morning stars singing together. The earth, as we see in Scripture, is described as singing praises to the Lord. Verse 4 says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" I want to really just take this thought, understanding that God created the world. He created it on purpose, by design. And if God created something with a design, he has a purpose for that thing he created. If God created music, God has a purpose for our music. And I want to be a help to you tonight. This is going to be a little bit of teaching. In all teaching, they say there is preaching, and so we'll get to that too. But as we look through our Bible, just to get an understanding of saying, what does the Bible have to say about this subject? What's okay? What's not okay? I would hope tonight that you would come to church with a heart that says, Lord, teach me. God, open my eyes. Lord, help me by your word, not just a man's mouth, to understand how you created the world, how you created me. God, all these big questions we have, I pray you'd come to church tonight with that desire of, Lord, would you teach me from your word the truths that you've given to us by the holy word of God. And let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you for this time together. I do pray it'd be a blessing. God, you know my heart, and I love, Father, studying this area. Lord, I love the blessing that music has been in my life, and I know that everybody here could have some kind of a testimony in that regard as well. And I pray, dear Lord, that you bless this time together. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God's gift of music. God's gift of music. Before we begin, I want to give you a few thoughts and some encouragement. The question is asked, how many conductors does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is nobody knows because nobody ever watches the conductor. How about this? How do you get a guitar player to stop playing? Anyone play guitar in here? Give them sheet music. Amen. How about this? How many altos does it take to change a light bulb? None, because they can't get up that high. You know, music is a blessing. It's such a gift. And can I say that the Bible is not silent on this issue? You know, our biggest book of the Bible is the book of what? I know it's midweek service, amen, but the biggest book of the Bible is what? The book of Psalms, a book of songs, a book of music. Now, we see not just by the book, but by references of Scripture that God has filled his word with this subject. You might come to church and say, man, Pastor, why do we dedicate an entire month to Musical May? And, you know, really, I think that idea is so great that we've adopted that for our church. And in May, talk about music as well. Because I think there are some things in the Christian life that are so important that they need repetition. Salvation is something that we shouldn't talk about just one time in our life. I know, like at our church, at this church, there's a gospel presentation, and we just can't stop talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb. And may I say, we shouldn't stop talking about it. And I believe there are certain areas in our world today, if you were to take a step back and say, where are the battles? Where are the casualties? What's happening to those that are falling out of church? What's happening with those that are getting on fire for the Lord and thriving in their Christian life? What are those areas? I believe without a shadow of a doubt that one of those key components is music. And here's the reason. Music is an expression of the heart. It's said this way, it's heart language. You can say something, Amazing Grace. But you start to sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was blind, but now I see. It's conveyed differently just by being put to a tune. We can't explain it, that there's not enough really explanation by science or technical, you know, aspects to that we could explain the power of it, but we understand and know that singing just, it portrays things in a more beautiful and powerful way than just by speaking it. And again, God created it. That this is not some amoral issue that we would say, you know what, just do whatever you want. You know, we should just live according to your own life and whatever pleases you, whatever fills your cup, and hey, that's just fine. You know, if that were the case, why did God give us the Bible anyways? If God's designed us in the Christian life just to adapt our own rules, our own standards, our own guidelines, our own way of living, then why even have the Bible? Well, why did God not just send his son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross, and then just say, you know what, just figure it out and do whatever pleases you? The truth is, he didn't. And he gave us his word, the Bible says, to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to guide us in these areas. Now, you might come to church and say, man, we hear a lot of negativity on music, I would challenge that to say there's a lot of positivity in music every time you come to church. Amen. When you sing together, when you hear music sung, the choir, I love hearing the choir sing. I know you have choir here at your church, and we have a choir. We have our choir director, Brother Jeremy, here tonight. And we have some folks from our church. We got a church hopper over here, Brother Calvin, and he's doing some training here at the academy for becoming a police officer, and he's really training to become a personal bodyguard, Pastor Becker, I think. But anyways, I love hearing the choir sing. Man, we see the outpouring every time we come to church. It's heart language. It's an expression of the heart. So why is it a big deal? Well, the Bible says this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You study in the Bible what God says about the heart, that's a pretty big deal. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, it is the center. We know in our bodies, man, you can survive with a limb being taken off. You can survive with certain organs being removed. You can't survive without a heart. We call it a vital organ. Music is an expression of the heart. It is a vital aspect in the Christian life. I've mentioned already, but God's made much of music. And can I say that there's so much beauty in music that God gives us in His Word? I think that it would be an encouragement to you in some areas that we'll go over tonight to see ways that God has given us direction and help and influence in this area of music. Music is a power, there's no doubt about it. Now, of course, we don't say, let's just take all music out. We want music to be directed in the right way. And I want to give you just a few thoughts tonight on God's gift of music and the ways that God has given examples throughout the Bible and how music is used, how it is utilized, and ways that it's used to be a blessing. Number one, I've already mentioned this. If you're taking notes tonight, God's given us the gift of music as a way of expression. Expression. Now, generally when you read your Bible, music refers not just to singing, but a lot of times just to instruments and the sounding of instruments. Here's a few quotes by different musicians and students of music. One said, "Where words fail, music speaks." Another said, "Music expresses that which cannot be put into words and cannot remain silent." Another said this: "Music can name the unnameable and communicate the unknowable." I mentioned already, music is heart language. Psalm 137, verse 2 says, "We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof." And we see that illustration of the expression of music through an instrument, through song. And the truth is, as Christians, we express what God is doing in our heart a lot of times through song. Now, I'll give you an example. We have folks who come to our church just like yours that are new, and they come, and one of the first things they notice is the singing is different. And may I say, it should be different. Amen. We had a man come to our church a long time ago, and he was giving us some bids on some stucco that we were redoing on our buildings in the early years that my wife and I were there at First Baptist Church at the time. And he said, "I used to be a youth pastor, and I did this really cool thing, and I think it'd be a good idea if you did it too." He said, "My brother, he's lost, he's not in church, he's never really been to church. I mean, this is totally foreign to him." And I asked him, I said, "Hey, would you come to our church, walk through the doors, and just give me all kinds of feedback on just what you sense from the moment you come in, how you feel, if you feel welcome, just everything you can, because I want people to feel welcome when they come to our church." And I'd agree with that. I want people to feel welcome when they come to our church. And he said, "It was so great." He gave me all these thoughts. And he said, "The music, it's just, man, I can't connect with it. And the preaching, you know, the lingo that the pastor uses and all this stuff." And he said, "It helped me because, man, I want to cater to those that are coming and I want to make them feel comfortable." Now hold on for a second. I want visitors to feel welcome. And especially if a lost person comes, I want them to know we're glad that you're here. I understand it's different, but we want you to be here because, praise the Lord, I want that person to get saved. And I know that you the same. You want that person to get saved. But let me tell you this. It should feel different. If we're not any different than what the world is offering, then why bother coming to church? Why not just stick to what they're doing in their life? Well, It's just like everything else. So you know, why should I come to church? It's just like the concerts I go to. It's just like the other life that I live. Man, it sounds different. It looks different. Everything about it is different. Why? Because we're saved. The Bible uses this term. He's put a new song in our heart. Don't you like that? Man, when you got saved, you got changed from the inside out forevermore. And you are changed in a way, may I say, that we won't fully understand until we get to eternity. You'll never be the same after salvation. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Some people think, man, I'm not going to get saved because I'm going to have to adapt to some rules and all that stuff you guys do. And they usually see the outward stuff. I got to give up my drinking. I got to give up my cussing. I got to give up my Sundays. And I'm thinking, you're looking at it all wrong because it's a change that you absolutely want and need. But it should be different. There should be an uncomfortableness that a lost person feels when they come to church. That's called conviction. I don't understand it. Man, I didn't grow up this way. I don't know what they're singing about. Man, a lost person should come sit next to you in church and you're singing, you know, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, and you sing it with a smile on your face and they're thinking, you know, this music isn't as technical, it isn't as beautiful, it isn't as powerful as the stuff I hear on the radio, but man, they seem like they're excited to sing about it. They seem like they actually mean what they're singing. I told this story at our church recently. Our family went to Santa Cruz for several years for family reunions, and I was in Bible college at the time, and got a visit there for a day or two with my dad and his side of the family, and there, you know, you see people that you don't see very often, and I remember seeing a cousin of mine that was about my age, and we'd seen each other just a couple of times, but we were some of the only people in our age group, so naturally, me and her hung out most of the time. You know, that's just kind of how it works, the age groups. And I remember it was a Wednesday night, and I thought, you know, I don't think that she's saved. And I invited her. I said, hey, would you like to go back to church with me at North Valley? And we can come back here to the reunion afterwards with all the family. And she's like, sure, you know. And I remember praying, okay, here's my opportunity. I want to witness to her and see, you know, if she'll get saved. And I was praying earnestly that she would get saved. And I remember thinking, okay, we're going to drive there and we'll talk and just small talk and maybe play some music. It's my car and, you know, wait till after the service, see if God speaks to her heart. And afterwards, I'll witness to her. And I was really praying that she would get saved. And I remember driving back to the church there from Santa Cruz and saying, hey, would you like to listen to some of my music? And you know, I remember putting different CDs in. And I remember thinking, okay, man, this is music and songs that I really enjoy. Man, this is a great, you know, quartet or, you know, from the college here, whatever it may be. And I was really excited thinking, man, isn't this great? And I'll never forget, she looked at me like, man, I was the craziest person alive. And it was like, you like this? And she kind of tried to be kind about it, was like, okay, you know. But she didn't understand it. Why? When you get saved, a change happens in you. And when we sing about the expression in our heart, about the love of God and the assurance of salvation and all those things, it should be different. We have a different expression. That's why we ought not to dabble in the world's music. Why? Because we're singing about different stuff. We're singing about a different purpose. We have a different song in our heart. We have a different change that God is doing in our lives. The Bible asks this question, can two walk together except they be agreed? God's given us music as a way of expression. Psalm 89 verse 15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Man, I love that thought. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Number two, God's given us music for sympathy. We have funerals at our church. We have a service coming up on Saturday for a lady who's been at our church, Miss Elwell. Pastor, you'd know her, been there for 25, 30 years or so, and just a faithful lady, a very southern lady, and she'd get to church early, and I'd sit and talk to her, you know, 5-10 minutes before service, because she'd get there, you know, real early, and talk about hunting with her husband, and all kinds of, you know, cooking, and she always loved talking about cooking food and whatnot. We'd have a chili contest at our church every year for our harvest night, and we'd have different categories. She'd always make the most unique chilies. I mean, elk and caribou and frog legs and all. And she was just that kind of lady. She was a very neat and godly lady. And we're having a service for her this Saturday. Well, the service is Saturday, like you, if you have services here at your church, I know that you do, what do? You play music that is appropriate for the setting. Usually at a funeral service, you're not playing, you know, upbeat, peppy, you know, unless there's specific instruction for that. We almost always sing as one of the songs, Amazing Grace. And I always ask for the second song. Was there a favorite song? You know, was there some kind of hymn or something that they really liked? And, you know, we'll try to sing that as well. But usually the song fits the setting. The song fits what's taking place. And we have Bible for that. We say 2 Chronicles 35:25, the prophet Jeremiah, it led a music ministry of the temple for the lamentation of their dead king at the time. And God gives us music, may I say, through difficult seasons that we face in life. Can I remind you this, that music can be a medicine? Music can be a blessing to you. And I want to challenge you with this, because we live in the day of consumption. Everything is passive. We watch things passively. We listen to things passively. We hear things passively. The Bible says much more about actively singing than listening to music. Now, there's examples of that. But I'm here to tell you that when you come to church and you sing together as a church, that's very important to do. Singing as a Christian is a very important thing. Pastor Nichols, if you know him, he's always known as being an upbeat, very encouraging, very uplifting person. And with all the health struggles that he's had through the years, it's always just been a great testimony of his with the spirit that he's had. It's not, you know, many times he's come to church in wheelchairs and missed for weeks and months at times. There's been a number of occasions that his wife and their family's been told that he's not going to make it past a certain point. I mean, just unbelievable hardship and trials. And by their testimony, he's talked about how much music has been used by God to help him through those seasons. But he wrote a song, and if you purchase one of the CDs back there, if you look it up on one of the streaming platforms, he wrote it, and it's called You Can't Keep a Singing Christian Down. And he said there was a preacher that was preaching on music, and he gave that thought. He said, you know what? That's true. You can't keep a singing Christian down. And truth be told, a Christian that has a song on their heart is a Christian that is serving the Lord, loving, serving God, has the joy of the Lord in their heart. I'm just here to say that a singing Christian is proof that there is joy in your heart in the Christian life. But music speaks to us. It's a calm through times of struggle. It's a joy through seasons of triumph. Music is given for sympathy. I believe in the Bible we see examples, number three, that music is given for romance. We see the entire book, Song of Solomon. It is the Song of Solomon. Psalm 45 is titled A Song of Loves. Isaiah 5, verse 1, now I will sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved. One of the albums that my wife's family has back there is songs that all of them have written for us, their spouses, because I wasn't going to write a song and sing it in front of all the people that came to our wedding. But my wife surprised me when we got married and wrote me a song at our wedding and sang it to me, and her sister, her brothers, and so on and so forth. Her dad wrote a song for their mother and sung it at several weddings. They've sung at several different weddings. I don't think it's wrong to sing about the love that you have for another person in your life. The truth is, that's most of what the world's music is on. Let me ask you, how are homes in the world doing? Do they know much about love? Do they know much about faithfulness? Do they know much about family sticking together forever? They don't even know who's supposed to be together in a home to begin for the first place. I don't believe it's a wrong thing to say that we sing to a significant other. Maybe you say, you know, I'm not a songwriter, but I wrote a song for my wife, or I'll sing a song to my husband, whatever it may be. Again, what is music? It is heart expression. And I believe there is a time, there is a place, there are parameters for this, especially young people, but we see examples of it in the Bible. May I say that God's given us the gift of music and other areas for teaching. I love this verse. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I mentioned this in church the other night. How many of you grew up in church? You grew up in Sunday school? Okay. Are there any songs that you can remember that your Sunday school teacher had you memorize by putting a song to it? Now, if you thought about it for a while, there's probably something you could think about. Or somebody starts to sing a song and you go, hey, I know that song. And maybe later on you learn, that's a Bible verse. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And then you realize, that's a Bible verse. I can't quotes, what is it, Ephesians 4:32, without singing the song. Be ye kind one to another. I'm not going to go through the whole song. But I remember singing that as a kid and growing up. But what did that do? That taught me the Word of God. That taught me the Bible. Now, God gives it to us not just so we can quote Scripture, but to also teach truth. If you read your Old Testament, we don't have time to go to all these references, but God talks about how He instructed the children of Israel to teach the next generation, and one of those ways, through song. Now, if you help in any kids' class, you know this, that kids love to sing. They love to sing. And if you have the right person up there, and can I just challenge you this? You don't have to be able to sing well. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to know how to sing parts or all that. You just have to enjoy what you're doing. And the kids will enjoy that too. They don't care if you can sing a solo in church, but if you're excited, they're excited. If you're talented and you're not excited, they're not going to be impressed. But kids love to sing. Can I say, that's a golden opportunity. A golden opportunity. They want to learn. They want to sing. They love to hear new songs. We teach them A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Why do we sing that? To teach the alphabet. I'm just saying, God knew what He was doing. When He created us from birth, when He created children, had the desires and to be able to learn the way that they do, it's God that designed us this way. Can I say that the world's music is teaching something as well? And there's enough examples that we could spend the whole night and more talking about the wrong that the world is teaching in their music. But music is always teaching. Number five, and I'll go through these last points quickly. Number five, God gives us music as a way of inspiration. If you go to any sporting event, I know the basketball playoffs are on right now. I was talking to my barber this morning. He's into hockey. I'm not really into hockey, but, you know, the hockey playoffs. Any sporting event, I guarantee there's music. Why? Music also has a physical response to it. You study that passage in 1 Samuel 16 where the Bible says Saul had an evil spirit upon him. And he called for David and they said, hey, here's somebody that can be a help to you. And they called David to come and to play to him. And the Bible speaks about the change that happened just by Saul listening to the music. There was a physical response, there was a mental response, and there was a spiritual response. You study that passage. How many times have you listened to music and all of a sudden you're tapping your foot and someone says, stop tapping, and you go, oh, I didn't know I was doing that. Or you're swaying with, or you see some kid, you know, one of your church kids, amen. Commercial comes on TV. Come on, it doesn't just happen to us, amen. And they start moving a certain way, and you said, where did you learn that? Well, your mother, of course, but, you know, where did you learn that from? Why? Who taught them that? Nobody taught them that. There's a physical response to music. I mean, music has an inspiration to it. We find in Numbers chapter number 21, we see Moses and the children of Israel, and they needed to dig wells. They didn't want to dig wells, and Moses got them singing, and he got them ready for work. Again, God created us this way. You see people working outside, and man, they got a speaker there with them. Why? Because music has a way of encouraging us. It has a way of inspiring us. And again, there's a right to that. There's a wrong to that. Then you think about waking up for the day. Sunday morning especially, not every time, but I'll try to play music as especially, our, you know, we're getting ready and our kids are getting ready. And there's a physical response to it. Number six, God's given us this gift of music to also be a blessing to us by way of reflection. Reflection. I have several references, more that I could mention right now just for sake of time, and I'll read just a few. You read through the Psalms, and there's so much reflection in there. As the people of God sing, and they sing about what God has done in the past. Psalm 137, verse 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Isaiah 49:13, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break into singing. There's a reflection of joy. There's a reflection of rejoicing. Do you know one interesting thing about eternity? We talked about heaven, right? In heaven, there will be singing. A lot of singing. And if you're not singing in church right now, you're going to be really out of practice by the time we get to heaven. Heaven is described, one of the only things we know about heaven. What are we going to be doing? We're going to be singing. I don't know what else we're going to be doing. I know there's going to be golf, but I don't know what else besides that. But there's going to be singing. Do you know an interesting thing on the other side of that in hell? There's a lot of description about hell as well. We don't know a lot of what is there besides what God tells us, of course. But there's no music. There's no joy. There's no rejoicing. There's nothing to reflect on and say, man, look at just how good God has been. They sang the song, my in-laws and my wife. God's still been good today, and if he's good back then, he can still be good. Hey, praise the Lord. That's an encouragement in the Christian life. As we get to sing about our salvation, what do you do when you sing about your salvation? You're reflecting about what God has done in your heart. We sing about what Jesus did on the cross. We sing about past victories. We sing about answered prayer. We sing about trials that God has brought us through and lifted us out. Singing is a way of reflection. And number 7, I like this, especially on the precipice of Memorial Weekend. We see in the Bible examples of God's gift of singing for patriotism. 1 Samuel 18:6, and it came to pass when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing. They were the old-fashioned cheerleaders, amen, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. They won the battle, and they came out singing. Now, of course, if you know your Bible, you know it's in that same timeline that they came out singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. But they sang about what God was doing in their nation. I will never apologize for singing songs about our land, about America, about the need of our land, about a heart for our land. Sometimes, every now and then, not often, we get somebody bent out of shape about, you know, doing the Pledge of Allegiance or the Star-Spangled Banner or those different things. But may I say that God wants us to have a heart for our country. God wants us to be proud of where God has put us. Not that that means we agree with everything. You know, we got to say all those things. We don't agree with it all, and we pray for it all. America's not what we want. We understand that we should have enough common sense to know those things. But we still can sing about our nation. We can sing about what God has given to us. Last time I checked, we have it pretty good. There's a lot that America still needs, but compared to most of the world, where missionaries are trying very carefully to stay in a field because they could get kicked out for simply handing out gospel tracts. I don't know how many missionaries we read, and I have to tell the sound men, you know, we got to cut live stream during this time because this information of these missionaries are very sensitive in their land, and they got to be very careful about that. Hey, I'm very thankful that they're going to that land, but I'm also thankful for the land that God's given to us. We sing patriotism. And then lastly, God's given us this gift of music also as an avenue, and really we find this example all throughout the Bible, as an avenue of prayer and praise. Again, I've talked about it, but God speaks about the praise that we'll sing in heaven. Revelation 14, verses 2 and 3. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. God speaks about the praise that we will sing in heaven. Do you know an interesting thing about the Bible? God speaks about that he also sings himself. Did you know that about God? Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. Many times after a victory, a song was sung. That they won a victory and they sung and said, man, Lord, you've been good. And you read a whole chapter in your Bible where they just sang and they just praised God. May I challenge you not to get so excited in the victory that you don't take time to stop and say, thank you, God, for what you just did. It's a gift as a way to pray and to praise. You can praise the Lord by just saying, thank you, God. But you can also praise the Lord by singing. Can I ask you, have you ever, in your own, maybe in a car, maybe in a garage, maybe in your quiet time, have you ever sang to the Lord as a way of praising God? It's a way that we praise him. It's a way that we pray to him. Music is a gift. And I thank you for giving your attention to these next few moments as we study the Bible. There's so much that we could say on it. There's so many examples on the other side that we could point to in the world to see where the devil is trying to change and influence and ever so slightly and really not so discreetly have an influence upon our young people and upon the next generation. But God's given us this as a gift. It is a gift, but it is a tool. And I pray that as we read our Bible, we'd realize that God's given us some direction in this area. And I hope this was a blessing to you tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you for, God, your word and the help, the direction, the, Father, instruction that you give with it. I do pray that we would not, Lord, feel that we have the ability or the power to say that the Bible says something that it doesn't, or it doesn't say something that it says. But that we would truly open our hearts and minds and lives to the Word of God.